welcome to the She Sits at His Feet podcast with me, Cicely Renee, and we talk about Christian lifestyle and creative well-being. I'm super excited that you are here, and we are going to dive right on in. Let's get started. I thank God for allowing me to be part of His kingdom and on this earth, allowing me to use my gifts to share, you know, His word with His people. I have a love, a passion for studying the Bible. I love my relationship with Christ. Like, my life has changed drastically over the past 2 years. And I'm just so excited about, you know, me and my relationship, right? And so that's one of my goals, is to be able to provide, you know, a space where people can tap into how good God is too, through, you know, teaching His word, encouraging people, celebrating, you know, them. But I want them to see that, you know, being in life in alignment with Christ, it's such a beautiful thing. I was just talking to a friend the other day, you know, I was just saying, like, as we go through things, you know, we as Christians don't experience it the same as people in the world, right? We have hope in God. We have faith that He's going to pull us through, because what we do is remember His hand on our lives throughout our entire lives. We also can see what He does in other people's lives. And that is what we hold on to, is how good He is. And so I was just reading, I think it was a prayer. I believe it was Daniel. And he was, you know, praying to God to change something. I believe it was in chapter 12, actually. Daniel 12, maybe 11. I have to go back. But, and his prayer did not, you know, complain. It wasn't complain. It gave God all the glory. And he reminded God of His hand, you know, on their lives, the Israelites, right? And then even in, you know, the Psalms, we see that when people are praying, they reflect on how good God is and how He brought them out of whatever situation. So, you know, of course we have, you know, the Exodus where they leave Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and the plagues, right? And then even when they are crossing the Jordan, God splits that again, and you know, God is feeding and nourishing them and providing. Like, there's a passage, man, I should have wrote all this down, but everything is just coming down. I believe it was in Ezekiel or Jeremiah. I mean, I could go look, but I don't want to waste too much time. But basically, it was when God was like, he was talking to the Israelites, right? He was saying that, you know, no one wanted you. You were left abandoned. You know, you weren't even cleaned when you were born. You were left to be, you know, deserted and left for dead, right? But God came, cleaned you up, married you, you know, and He took care of you, adorned you, put jewels on you, you know, made you beautiful. And then all of a sudden, you know, they turn and, of course, they, you know, go back to you serving other gods. But, you know, I'm reminded of, you know, God's hand, even though we don't deserve it, right? We don't deserve His grace and mercy. I'm reading the Bible in 52 weeks. And so my brain is like, has a lot of content in it. And I'm just like pulling all these things. And so I'm like, okay, was it in Ezekiel? So like, I read Ezekiel. It probably took about a week and a half. We had Isaiah, and they were like long books. And so, but we put like 3 or 4 chapters, maybe sometimes 5 in a day. So there's a lot of, you know, information in my head that I'm pulling from. But anyway, so, and then I lose my spot. But, but God is just so great. And I'm just like, okay, I just want to make sure that as I go through this word, that, you know, I am able to share that with you so that you are encouraged, and, you know, seek him for yourself. You know, the word is totally different than that of being preached to on a Sunday morning, okay? You know, there was, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? There was so much information there that I had no idea. Like, they would just say, oh, they were thrown into, you know, the fire, the kiln, or whatever it is. But it doesn't talk about how, like, I don't hear preachers saying, you know, what they were doing beforehand. Like, they just weren't serving, like they were told on. Like, people were like, they're not bowing down to your God or whatever. And I'm just like, that experience, like, there's so much more than, you know, what we are told on a Sunday. Unless your pastor is going line by line, you know, verse by verse, then you're missing out. And Pastor Tony Evans, he says, if you are not getting, you know, the context behind what you're reading, then you're going to be conned, right? You're going to think it's one way when it's something else. And that just reminds me of when I was reading, the Dry Bones, the Valley of the Dry Bones, and just how it all worked. Like, we just hear, you know, I pray that, you know, God brings life into your dead bones, and not the whole, you know, beforehand of like God saying, okay, go prophesy. Well, first he asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And these bones are just sitting on the surface, you know, dry, right? Which means they have been there for a very long time. Like, and when I think about it, I'm just like, man, that kind of sounds like, you know, some of our prayers. Like, we've been praying for something and we kind of just gave up on it because it has not come to fruition. But God is like, can these bones live? And Ezekiel throws it back on him. He's like, only you know, God. Like, I'm not going to put anything on there, but I'm trusting you. You have all power in your hands. And then just the whole process of it, right? God is like, I'm going to do this. It's going to happen this way. And the healing is from the inside out. And then the spirit, like, it's just so deep. And I just encourage you guys to, you know, study the word for yourself. And I literally just listened to a podcast or a video of Jackie Hill Perry talking about how she studies her Bible. And it is just so profound. And basically, I do the same thing. And so when we read the passage, you know, of course you pray first to get revelation for God to illuminate, you know, what needs to be seen for you or whatever your prayer is. So like, if I'm reading, I'm like, okay, God, you know, encourage me, teach me, you know, edify me, but also give me something that I can share with your people. And he does that, y'all. And like, the revelation after revelation, like, we're going to go through this book, well, not book, but this passage. And I will tell you that I read over this many times. And yeah, like, new things pop out every time. That is the living word. And I'm like, okay, God, I see you. I see how you work, right? And so if you want to be a Bible studier and reader, I encourage you to join me because we are going to be starting a Bible reading plan for about a year and a half. So it is it's supposed to be the Bible in 1 year, but they didn't have, you know, day or like a break in between. So I've embedded a break in there. So instead of, you know, just a year, it's going to be about a year and a half, which is fine because sometimes, you know, we need more time in the word to really understand it. And it's just, yeah. So if you want to do that, there will be a link below for you guys to sign up. We're starting June 1st, 2024. And it's going to be amazing. And we're going to have a group of women who want to study this word and just allow God to use us. And so that I'm gonna use that to transition into what we're going to be studying today. Because, you know, I'm telling y'all, God wants you to go deeper. And one of the ways To go deeper is in His Word. And not just reading it, not just reading a devotional or a scripture a day. It is to really go in deep, right? Studying, hearing from Him, you know, understanding Him, seeing His character, seeing how it points to Jesus, right? And especially if you're in the Old Testament, because, you know, everything points to Jesus, but you just have to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and show you where that is, right? And so with the Jackie Hill Perry, I'll link that too. But she talks about, you know, doing observations. And so we'll read it, but we have to go back and be like, okay, what things stood out to me the most? Like, what questions do I have? Or what is going on right here? Or that's wild, right? And so I taught English. And what I did for students, you know, I had like a... I did this thing called like highlight with a purpose, right? And so if you highlight something, you have to write a note next to it, right? And a lot of them, I would force them to do, find three, maybe exclamation marks. So exclamation means like, wow, this blew my mind. Or two question marks. What questions do you have about this? Or two link, or like a chain, a link. So what connection did you make with this? And so that is one of the ways that I, you know, go through my Bible study as well. And so I love that. And then, of course, there is, you know, the application and the interpretation, right? And so, you know, you have to get in your groove. You have to figure out how you want to go through your Bible study time. But again, definitely join us. And we start in June. And so, and I'm almost done reading the Bible in 1 year, y'all. And, you know, I definitely have been blessed to be able to really dive deep due to my lifestyle. So I have a work from home job, and I am able to study without being, you know, rushed or whatever. And so I know a lot of people don't have that opportunity. They have like kids, they have to travel, they got to do all kinds of stuff. But, you know, finding your own rhythm, your own groove, and God will, if that's what you really want to do, you just really make sure that you are praying and asking God to remove things that don't need to be there, or, you know, find room for me, God. Where should I do it? When should I do it? And, you know, maybe it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know if that's my story, but I would like to get up at 2 and study so I can have more time in the daytime. but you and your Heavenly Father, you know, find something that works for you. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into this Bible study. All right, so we're going to hop right into Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12, okay? And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is so dope, okay? So, like, I've read this passage over and over. I've probably read it about 20 times. And every time, and it's only 12 verses, okay? And every time something new pops out. And so we're going to start reading this, and I'm going to tell you, you know, what new thing came while I was recording this podcast, okay? So I'm going to start reading, and I'm reading from the CSB version, all right? So, 1, then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. And so we're going to stop right there real quick. And so that first part, so when I had first started recording this, I was like, it says, then he brought me back. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, he's been to this place before. But now there's something new for him, a new part of that vision. So he brought him back, and what he sees new is that there's water now. There's water in this temple. And it's like, okay, what? Okay, so this water has, well, we all obviously know, so it also gives us, you know, subheadings or chapter titles. And so, of course, it talks about water, right? And I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I did not even think about that. So this is something new he sees at the temple, because he's already been there, but he now sees this water. All right. So verse 2, Next, he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east. There, the water was trickling from the south side. And so one observation was like, it's trickling, okay? It's like just little sparkles, nothing substantial yet, right? So it's little. As the man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my ankles. Then he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my knees. He measured off another third of the mile and led me through the water. It came up to my waist. Again, he measured off a third of a mile, and it was a river that I could not cross on foot. For the water had risen, it was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed on foot. Verse 6, he asked me, "Do you see this, son of man?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I had returned, I saw a very large number of trees along both sides of the riverbank. He said to me, "This water flows out to the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah. When it enters the sea of foul water, the water of the sea becomes fresh." Verse 9, every kind of living creature that swarms will live wherever the river flows, and there will be a huge number of fish because this water goes there. Since the water will become fresh, there will be life everywhere the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to En-Glam. These will become places where nets are spread out to dry. Their fish will consist of many different kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Yet its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be left for salt. All kinds of tree providing food will grow along both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fresh fruit because the water comes from the sanctuary. Their fruits will be used for food, and their leaves for medicine. Man, so real quick, so something else just popped out. So that last verse in 12, it says, their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fresh fruit because the water comes from the sanctuary. Sanctuary is in the temple. The water is connected to the sanctuary, and which means that's where life will be, right? So if it is not connected to the sanctuary, if it's not connected to that water, then there's not going to be any life. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, yes. Okay. So let's go back to the top. So we already know that this is a new vision, not a new vision, but a new piece or a new sight or new thing that has been added to this vision. So we have this water and it starts off trickling, right? One thing that really stood out to me is in verse 3. And then I guess through 5. So as a man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my ankles. Then he measured off a third of a mile. So one thing that really stood out right there is that, you know, many of us think that we determine how deep we go. We think that we know that we are deep. We're like, oh, I'm good, right? I don't need, you know, anything else. I am great. But Ezekiel, this is the lead. This guy is leading him and he's measuring it. He's being specific. He's like, I want you to come deeper. I want you to come this way, you know, and Ezekiel is being led. And so I just encourage y'all to, you know, be led on the depthness of where you're going, right? So don't feel like you have made it. You have achieved everything. Only God knows how much deeper you need to go, right? And he wants you to continue to go deeper and deeper. And I was like, okay, because I'd be thinking, oh, I'm good. No, I really don't think that, to be honest, because a lot of the times I really do feel like I'm not equipped, but here I am, you know, God has just given me, you know, these words and the understanding and the revelation. And I'm like, okay, God, I'll do whatever you say for me to do. Okay. So the next thing that stood out was, so he got really deep, right? It was to his ankles, to his knees, to his waist. And then he had to swim, right? So God is not like, go wade in the water. No, he wants you to, you know, be all the way in, right? So no sitting on the edge with your toes dipped in, that you, there's nothing there, right? There might be some inspiration, but you're going to be like, you're going to see all these people diving in, change lives, and you're going to want that. And so eventually you are going to want to dive in and just swim in this living water, okay? And so another thing that stood out to me is, like, it's not a pond. It's not a pool. It is flowing. It is moving. It's not, you know, stagnant. So God, like, that just shows me that we are not supposed to be stagnant. We're not just supposed to be in our safe little space. We are supposed to move. We're supposed to flow and go where God is telling us to go, right? He is leading us, and we have to trust him and be led, right? And so let's head to verse 6. And well, yeah, we can say verse 6. So he asked me, "Do you see this, son of man?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. Verse 7. When I had returned, so he's back, and now he sees something new. So it's like every time he goes back, there's something brand new. And that reminds me of the living word. Okay. So like every time I come back to this passage, you know, I'm just like, oh my God, like there's something new that pops out. Oh my God. So that's brand new to me right there. And so he saw a very large number of trees along both sides of the riverbank. And I was like, man, the deeper he went. So like, I don't think he would have noticed the fruit or the trees if he didn't go all the way in, right? If he just was like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, dip my feet in there. Oh, I don't want to get my hair wet, right? He's like, I don't think he would have seen that fruit or the, you know, the life that came after being so deep, so soaked into, you know, in the water, right? This living water. And so I was like, man, that's profound. That's amazing. So we got to go deep. We can't just, we got to go all the way in, okay? So let's go ahead and look into verse 8. So he said to me, this water flows out to the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah. When it enters the sea of foul water, which is the Dead Sea, the water of the sea becomes fresh. Y'all. So this is talking about like the gospel, right? The word of God, like spreading his good news, right? And it is going to clean. It's going to restore. It's going to revive. It's going to remove anything that is ill, goes against his will. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be fresh, right? And I just loved that. And so, you know, when I think about like how God uses us, if we don't go deep, if we don't go all the way in, we're not going to be able to, you know, infect other people with the good news. And I say infect as if it's a good thing, right? So we want to be infectious. We want people to be changed when we, you know, get in the presence of people, unbelievers and people who think that they're believers, right? So we be churching, we be, you know, praying, we be doing all these things, but we are still superficial. We are surface level and we don't really get changed until we go all the way in. And y'all, I'm telling you, we need to go all the way in. And so when I thought about that too, I saw this vision. I envisioned myself, you know, coming out of the water. So I'm like soaking wet, right? And I'm walking on the side of the water and you can see wet footprints. You can see that I have been immersed in something, right? There is water dripping from me. My hair is, you know, soaking wet. I am soaked. And that is how God wants us to be, soaked in his presence, soaked in his spirit. And it needs to be seen when we are walking or engaging with people, right? They want to be like, oh man, she's soaking wet, right? You know? And so that is what happens when we go all the way in with God. We look different. We have, you know, so when Moses went up on, you know, the mountain with God to write the tablets, and he was sitting in God's presence, you know, and it shone, like he came down just beaming, like being in his presence transfigured him or transformed or just allowed him to have this huge glow that he didn't even know, but everybody else were like, oh my God. So he was so bright. And when we soak in his presence, when we sit at his feet, okay, then we people can see that. They know that, you know, she ain't no just regular schmegler person. She is, you know, a child of God, right? And that is how we're supposed to be. And so when we leave these footprints, when we leave, you know, when we splash other people, they too should, you know, become clean, right? They should, you know, become fresh when they engage with us, right? So this is, we're supposed to spread his good news and the gospel, right? So, okay, so we are going to go look at verse number 9. And so I think I was reading this yesterday and this point stood out to me. This popped out. I was like, oh my gosh. God, you're so good. Okay, the living water. And, you know, God is the living water. When we are connected, when we abide, when we, you know, are just aligned and just, we are going to live, right? So, like, apart from him, we can do nothing, right? And he is the well that never runs dry. And I want to be drinking from that well all day, every day, okay? All right, so verse 9, it says, every kind of living creature that swarms will live wherever the river flows. And there will be a huge number of fish because this water goes there. Since the water will become fresh, there will be life everywhere the river goes. So they said that twice in the same sentence, right? Or the same verse. You know, three times actually. So, we'll live wherever the river flows. This water goes there. So there will be fish because this water goes there. There will be life everywhere the river goes. And so, you know, I think in opposites. So what will happen if, you know, I don't go where the river is? That's death, right? So I'm just like, okay, I want to be connected. I want to stay wherever the river goes. Like, I can see that there's life, there's trees, there's fish, you know, wherever this river is. Maybe there is another river, but that ain't the river coming from the temple. That ain't the river coming from the sanctuary. Like, we already know that there was a Dead Sea, right? And so the river flows into the Dead Sea. There's other waters out there, but it ain't the living water, right? And so I'm like, I want to be where life will be, you know, plant, like I want to be a tree planted by the water, right? And I want that water to be coming from the temple, okay? And so I was like, okay, that's deep. I want to just make sure I am aligned, connected, rooted in the water, the living water. All right, so verse 10, it says, fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to En-Gleam. These will become places where nets are spread out to dry. Their fish will consist of many different kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Man, so there's going to be abundance. There's going to be so much. There's going to be, you know, there's no competition. No one's going to be hungry. Everybody's going to have enough. And I just was like, okay. All right, so we go to verse 11. Yet its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be left for salt. And so for me, at first I was like, oh, that sounds bad, right? That, you know, it will not be healed. They will be left for salt, but there's a reason why it needs to be salt, right? Salt is a preservative. It keeps, the good stuff, right? We are called to be the salt, right? Preserving his good news, and so when we think about, but there's also negative connotations, right? So like, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt, right? But when we see that, this is all positive, there's nothing negative in here, even though it sounds like, the swamps will be not healed and they're left for salt. So God, there needs to be some preservation there. And so that is something we need to focus on too. We need to be able to, we're a preserving agent too, right? And so when we are sharing this gospel, we are preserving his good news, okay? So verse 12, it says, all kinds of trees providing food will grow along both banks of river. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fresh fruit because the water becomes the sanctuary. The water comes from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be used for food and their leaves for medicine. And I was like, there's going to be fruit forever. It's going to always be fruit. There's going to be veggies, whatever, God is feeding us, and it will never fail. It will not fail. Like, man. Okay. And so, and also medicine, like their leaves, like, I'm just like, God has it all in, he has everything under control. He has it all planned out. He is, when I'm reading through this Bible, I'm like, he is just so, strategic. Everything is well thought out. It's very specific. And I'm just like, my brain doesn't think like that. I'm more of a like, oh, la-di-da-di person. But he's like, he puts things in order. He's a God of order and a God of clarity. And he puts this here for us so that we understand who he is and what he expects, right? And I'm just like, okay, I love reading this word, Heavenly Father. And so, what are some things that stood out to you in this passage? I would love to know. And I'm sorry that this video or this podcast was longer than anticipated or expected, right? But it is all good because this is good. I think so. All right, so there's a song that I want you guys to go listen to. I won't play it here. I want you to go find it on your own on YouTube. I'll probably link it in the comments below. But the song is called In the River, All the Way In. And so it's by Deeper Worship, the one that I found. And I just was like, that's amazing. So when I read this the first time, I was like, this sounds like that one song the church was singing. So I had to go search it because I was like, this is all about what they're talking about, going all the way in, right? Okay. So cool. So before we leave, I want you to head over to the blog because we are doing a theme called The Rebirth of Restored Faith. And we are diving deep into what God is calling us to do, right? He wants us to be restored. Like, he wants our faith to be restored. But we can only do that if we go deeper in him, right? And so I'm imploring y'all to go deep with me this month as we read his word, as we, our community for one another. There's going to be challenges. And on the blog, we actually have, a free for the subscribers, a digital guided journal all about, scriptures on, being restored in faith, giving you some challenges. And so there'll be some more good stuff throughout the month. So definitely head over to the blog to check that out. And we started this thing called She Is Me Friday feature. And so our Friday feature is Nina Lewis, and she is phenomenal. She's a podcaster. She is, she's a corporate educator, trainer. She's an entrepreneur. She is just doing all the things. And she does that by God's lead, right? And so with the She Is Me, that means, you know, so the podcast is called She Sits at His Feet. And so when we sit at His feet, we get submerged into His Spirit, His glory. And then all of a sudden we want to do everything according to His will and His way. And it's just a beautiful thing. And that's what she is doing. So She Is Me. She sits at His feet and God is moving in her life. And so I would encourage you guys to go check out her feature. And if you know of a woman that wants to, that should be celebrated for her work, you know, what she's doing in the world, how she's serving, maybe it be, you know, as a teacher or parent or wife, whatever it may be, we want to just honor these women who are living for God and just doing the thing, okay? All right. So anyways, it has been a blessing to sit here with you guys and go through the word. And I pray all is well in your world. And if you have questions, definitely reach out. Join the Facebook group. Look, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And just reach out if you have any questions, okay? I love y'all. Peace and blessings.